Well, I hope tonight's message will be kind of interesting. It's a familiar message, you'll know, but because it's Holy Week, we call it Holy Week, including Palm Sunday, which would be like today, when Jesus comes into the city. Now, most of the time in your scriptures, mine actually does not have the titles at the top of the sections of the Bible, but many Bibles do. And they refer to this as the triumphal entry that Jesus made. So we're going to actually be preaching out of chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, and we'll actually pick up at verse 12. A lot of things have happened at this point in Jesus' ministry, but by and large, and this is where we need to make a distinction. By and large, the ministry of Jesus has been, I don't want to say private because it really wasn't, but it was mostly private. Jesus would withdraw from the crowds. You know this. He would withdraw and he would go out to pray and then he would heal. And he would often draw crowds because of the miracles he did. Jesus drew crowds, huge, huge crowds. But still, you would have to consider his ministry more private than public. And I'll explain that here in just a minute. So keep all of that in mind. So the title is called Not What You Expected. And so we're going to jump in on chapter 12, verse 12. And it says this. So it said, on the next day, many people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And I know it stops at mid-sentence there, but what happened is, so all of this activity happened on a particular day, but then it says on the next day, there were so many people now gathering in Jerusalem. And what's important about this week that we're celebrating is the fact that there's a Passover week, okay? The Passover, and they celebrate in multiple ways, but one of them is a huge feast. But if you go back and you study the Old Testament, you'll see that the Passover was one of the most critical and prominent, I don't necessarily want to say holiday. By the way, do y'all know that holiday is derived from the word holy day? So, this is why I don't get too upset when people at Christmas time, they don't want to say Merry Christmas, they say Happy Holidays. Well, that's okay with me because it's a holy day. Happy Holy Days. So anyway, that's a little aside. But the fact is, this was a very holy day. The Passover was coming. And this is when all kinds of sacrifices were happening. Thousands were happening. In fact, I stagger in my mind as to how did all of these thousands of sacrifices got done. And I believe it had to be done over multiple days because the city was filled with worshipers. And so that's why it said much people. I mean, it was full. It was crowded. And the fact that they heard that Jesus was going to be there. Okay, that's a double whammy. Not only was it a holy day, a feast day that was coming up, but they heard that this miracle worker was also coming. So here it was. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. So what do you think their expectations are? This is where it gets interesting, in my opinion. Because of the way Jesus' ministry has been taking shape, and this is where it becomes very important, this is actually recorded in all of the Gospels, slightly different, and if you don't mind me taking another pause, whenever the Gospels differ a little bit, let's not make a big deal out. A lot of people like to say, see, they said over here, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But then over here it says, blessed is the King of Israel. You know, they want to say the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. It was said to men who wrote the Gospels, and they've heard it maybe a little differently. You realize if somebody told you something and then you go out later on and you tell that story, you'd probably tell it differently because you heard different things. Same thing with the Gospels. Yes, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but not every account is going to be identical. It has to do partly with the personality of the writer. So keep that in mind. So here in verse 13, the people now, much people, lots of people, took branches of palm trees and they went forth to meet him, Jesus. And what'd they do? They cried, yelled. I mean, they like screaming it to the top of their lungs. Imagine at least hundreds, if not thousands of people yelling, Hosanna, which means God saves, I believe, or he's coming to save. Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Wow, this is a very important event, because now Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, but he's coming in a different way. Now his ministry is considered public. This is where Jesus is coming in to offer himself as the King of Israel. And they know who the King of Israel is. It's the Messiah. The Messiah. And now they have expectations of the Messiah. And they're yelling, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel. See, there's no way they can mistake who that is that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, this is how Jesus actually came into Jerusalem. And you're familiar with this. In verse 14, it said, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. What was it written? Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Now, notice it said, as it is written. Anytime you see that phrase, go back and look to see how it was written. That came from the Old Testament. Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. And this is how it said it. It said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. This is the Messiah. This is the future prophecy of the Messiah. He is just and having salvation. There's that word, salvation. Hosanna, God saves. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Okay, so here it is that Jesus has, some people will say it's a miracle. Other people said it was prearranged, that Jesus has a donkey, okay? He has not only a donkey, but he has the colt, okay? This is the colt, and they put their coats on this colt and put Jesus on it and rode him in to Jerusalem. What's very interesting about all of this is that that's not how kings typically come into a city. Kings who are coming to take over, and by the way, that's what they wanted. They wanted a Messiah that was going to come in and take over. Finally, get us out of under the thumb of the Romans and we will rule the world. That's what they expected. And so typically, conquerors, kings, would come in on either a chariot. This is how Pharaoh would ride around, by the way. And if y'all recall the story when Joseph was made, I guess you would call him like second to Pharaoh, like a high-ranking prime minister. What'd they do? They rode him around in a chariot. And because Joseph was in the same chariot with Pharaoh, that showed his title. And so that showed that Joseph himself and Pharaoh were the rulers of all of Egypt. Same thing when Rome did what they did. Whenever they conquered something, they'd ride in with chariots and the armies, especially on huge and mighty stallions. And this is the way kings came in to declare their authority over whoever it was. But the interesting thing about this, when a king comes in on a colt, on a donkey. He's coming in as a king of peace. Do you remember when the angels announced the birth of Christ? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. This was it. This was the fulfillment of all of that, because he came in on this donkey in humility. He wasn't coming in as a conquering king. This is an important distinction we need to know. He was coming in fulfilling Zechariah 9 and 9, declaring, maybe not in so many words because the people were declaring it, that he was the Messiah, because he fulfilled this scripture of the Messiah coming in as a king. They recognized that. Now, to us, it might not seem like a big deal. To them, it was everything. It was everything. It was what they had been praying for, fasting for years, generations even. And finally, the Messiah is here. And that's what their expectation was. He's coming, and he's going to take over Jerusalem, and Romans are going to be wiped out. That was their expectation. He announced, in a sense, by coming in this way, he declared himself publicly. Remember, I said most of it was private, but now he's publicly saying, I'm your king. He fulfilled the scripture. And he is saying by doing this that I'm your king. I'm the one you've been looking for. So everybody is going crazy, happy. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? If you knew for a fact, which I know he's going to come in a twinkling of an eye, but if you knew that the Lord was coming and you could see it, and you had time to think about what was happening, wouldn't you get all excited? That's what's happening. The Lord is coming. The Messiah is coming. They've waited for this for so long. People have lived and died praying and waiting for the Messiah. And now there's people alive looking and seeing their Messiah coming into Jerusalem. What a time that would have been. Oh my goodness, what a time. They were so happy. Well, it's funny how things turn out. Because verse 16 in John chapter 12 says this. And by the way, this is John writing this, because he says, these things understood not his disciple. See, they didn't realize, and I'm not sure why, because they were good Jews. They understood Scripture, but they didn't understand that he was fulfilling Scripture. So they did not understand the disciples at the beginning when he did all this. So we know John's writing this later. But he says, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him. They went back and they checked prophecy, and Jesus fulfilled the prophecy, and that they had done these things unto him, meaning the things they were going to do that week. This is what John is writing about. So verse 17. So think about all of this excitement, all of this joy, and the people are going crazy because they see the end of their oppression finally coming to an end, to where the Messiah is just going to wipe out all their enemies, and they were going to become the rulers and judges of the world. But verse 17, it says here, the people therefore that was with him, meaning Jesus, when he called Lazarus out of the grave. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that story? And he raised him from the dead, they bear record. That phrase bear record means they gave their testimony. Hey, Gail, did you see when Jesus came in and he rose Lazarus from the grave? Hey, Nolan, did you see? They're telling their story. They were eyewitnesses to Jesus raising the dead, something that was impossible to do, but he raised the dead after 4 days. There was a belief, at least this is what I've read, there was a belief that the soul would typically hang around, the spirit would hang around for about 3 days at most. And they could be revived, maybe. Okay, but after 4 days, no, Lazarus by now, he stinks. Remember that? Master, it's been 4 days. In other words, it's impossible. It's impossible. But we know the man of impossibilities, right? We know that. Well, they were there. A lot of them in this crowd were there, and that was one of the reasons they came. And they came because he raised Lazarus after 4 days. And they bear record. They gave their testimony. They told their story. I mean, they spread the word. And when they heard Jesus was coming, they were probably gathering their friends and family and going and pulling them, dragging them, saying, look, the man who raised another man from the dead 4 days dead, he's coming. You got to come out and see him. That's how, you know, word of mouth goes. Very exciting times for them. Very exciting. And there it says it. This is the reason. For this cause, because of Lazarus, the people also met him, Jesus, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the last verse I want to mention is this one right here. Now remember, this is Jesus coming in, publicly declaring that he's the one they were looking for. How did they know? Because it was written. Remember that? In Zechariah 9 and 9, which they didn't have chapter and verses back then, but they knew Zechariah, the prophet, that their Messiah, their king, would come in riding on a colt. And then, when John was saying all of that, they even yelled out, the King of Israel, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel, who cometh in the name of the Lord. They knew who he was. They knew. And that's why they came out, because of Lazarus, for a good part of it. So the final scripture I want to talk about tonight, the Pharisees, oh, they're always around, aren't they? The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves. So imagine a group of Pharisees seeing all of this commotion. You got people yelling out prophetic scripture, like I just said, Hosanna. Blessed be the King of Israel, who cometh in the name of the Lord. You hear the Pharisees, or you see the Pharisees hearing all of this, and they're shaking their heads, and they're pounding their fists, and they're saying, no, no, no. And the people, you can't stop them. Once the crowd gets going, you can't stop them. And so the Pharisees here, they said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after it, after Jesus. How I wish that were true. I know at that moment it must have looked like everybody has fallen for Jesus. To the Pharisees, they're falling for a lie. Because they never believed Jesus was the Messiah. But this event, this single event, was when Jesus publicly, not in words, but with his actions, fulfilling scripture, was saying that I'm the one you were looking for. So their expectations was a conquering king. Even though he came in on a colt, that's what they expected. And the Pharisees basically said, when they said, perceive ye how you prevail nothing, you could reword that to say, don't you see how you're not doing any good at all? All the back pushback that the Pharisees were doing when Jesus was doing all these things, especially on the Sabbath. They hated Jesus for doing things on the Sabbath, healing and all this. They hated him, hated, to the point they wanted to kill him. Kill him over, well, I know, we think it's not such a big deal, but to them, the Sabbath was a huge, huge deal. And when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, no, no, no. Is the way they looked at it. You don't do that on the Sabbath. Can't you heal on the other days? Well, of course he could, but they made the Sabbath so sacred that they would actually lose sight of the person being healed. You see how mixed up and crazy upside down that is? And so when Jesus essentially announces that he's the king, he's the Messiah, and the people agree, the Pharisees realize that I give up. We're not doing any good. We're not changing any minds. Look, the whole world is going crazy. They've gone after Jesus. We can't stop it. That's what that scripture's saying. So the question is, would you consider this a triumphal entry? Well, in some respects, maybe. It was triumphal in the sense that he came as a king. But a week later, folks, that same crowd shook their fist in the air. Crucifying, crucifying. No more of this blessed be the King of Israel. It was crucifying. Only a short week later. How sad. Wasn't what they expected. No way. Wasn't even close. Because on today, in our way of counting time, so today being Palm Sunday, this is how he entered. With a lot of shouts and worship and glory. And then a week later, he dies a horrible death. How I wish the whole world went after him. Father, thank you for opening our eyes with Scripture. Thank you, Lord, in the telling of the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Father, he fulfilled Scripture, and we know he is the Messiah. We know he is the one. And because of that knowledge today, we look forward, Lord, to that great coming. When he does come on a white horse, he will come as a conquering king. But it's so sad how the people so quickly forgot him. Father, help us not to let that happen to us. Help us to continue to follow Jesus and no turning back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.